88.1. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. My next guest is Joanne Lewis-Margolius, who directs an arts organization that for 30 years has been presenting workshops and programs for disabled children and adults using theater arts to address areas of emotional conflict. This therapeutic theater group works at places like the Maryland School for the Blind, the Delray School that works with children suffering from traumatic brain injuries, and the Copper Ridge Center, which works with adults in late stages of Alzheimer's and dementia. Joanne Lewis-Margolius joins me in the studio to tell us about the Magical Experiences Arts Company. It's nice to meet you.
Thank you, Tom. It's nice to be here.
So you've developed something called emotional stimulation therapy, and I understand that it's different from traditional drama therapy. For those of us who are not erudite in this area, start with traditional drama therapy. What does that do, and then how does your approach of emotional stimulation therapy differ?
Drama therapy began as a way to help people, children, adults with disabilities, to find different ways of moving and experiencing life. Now, when I was introduced to drama therapy back in 1986, it was very much entertainment for the children who were participating. It was fun. We did pirate ships and wonderful things like that. But I felt it did not address the needs of the children. They were very, very isolated because of their disabilities. They were often self-injuring because they were frustrated. They couldn't communicate. Most were nonverbal. So I felt drama therapy did not really reach the core of the human being.
So you're dealing with kids and adults who are severely disabled in a variety of ways, but you're talking about, or you're addressing issues of their inner emotional lives.
Yes. The children I work with are all multiply disabled. That means they're not just coping with blindness or cerebral palsy or autism. They have a whole bunch of difficult coping situations because of their disabilities. So I'm reaching out to those children and adults who predominantly cannot speak. So when they're feeling sad, when they're feeling angry, they can't tell me that's how they're feeling. They can't articulate through language. So they will do things physically to tell us. And that's not always good for them or other people, because it could be hitting or biting. It could be hurting themselves. So we've given them a language, a way to express those feelings. But of course, we're also doing the joyful emotions. It's the whole balance.
Yeah, because self-expression is, you know, so fundamental to every human experience, regardless of whether you have a disability or not.
Yes, and the people I work with are so joyful over the most simple things. So we try to balance that with them, that bring out that joy, but at the same time recognize their struggles. And that's why so many of my plays are based on historical characters who have had to struggle in their lives. Helen Keller, of course, is the great example, that even though she struggled, we also know she lived this amazing creative life. So that's where we're trying to help these children and adults feel that.
Is it the case, do you think, that because they are often, as you say, multiply disabled, that the concentration of the people caring for them tends to be on those disabilities and on the and developing, you know, coping skills with those disabilities, and they ignore, or they just have to overlook the emotional component of their lives?
I think we see that their clinical age is a two-year-old, even though they're 21. And I think sometimes we get caught up in a cycle of treating them as if they are a two-year-old. And I try to remind people that no, they are creative, they are intelligent, they have a great imagination, they're very powerful human beings, but they are trapped. They are trapped in a body cannot always show that to us. And that's why we started working in memory impairment, because that's exactly what has happened to these adults. They were fathers and mothers and teachers and creative beings, and now they're trapped within a disease where they can't even move their arms and legs. They can no longer talk. So again, we're trying to reach them and show the staff in these nursing homes that these are wonderful people who have so much to tell us. They just can't tell us in words anymore.
Yeah, you don't stop living just because you have a disability. Yeah,
no.
Yeah. One of the things that it seems is quite important to you is that when you're doing these theatrical projects, these endeavors, these exercises with your audiences, that there's always an equality between the non-disabled actor and the disabled person in the audience. And that sense of equality is very important for your audience.
Yes, we're
and
going
for you through, as an actor.
Yes, we're going through this together. This absolutely, the equality is that they have as much to give to this world as the non-disabled person. So how I structure the plays is that my character or another MIAC artist character is the person that needs to be guided, to be helped during the show. So in a way, we reverse the historical carer to the disabled. If I'm playing Anne Frank and I open a birthday present and it's full of yellow stars, I turn to those children, I turn to those adults and I reach out to them and I say, help me. I need compassion, I need empathy from them. And they reach out to me. A completely blind, deaf, autistic child will reach out and hold my hand and comfort me. They become my carer. And the same for a person who's memory impaired with dementia. They do nothing for themselves anymore, nothing. They can't get themselves out of bed, they can't eat, they can't make a choice of what they wear. But at that moment—
But they can be empathic to you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so empowering to them.
I'm fascinated in particular with your work with blind children, because theater is such a visual art form. So if they can't see you in your costume with your makeup and your funny clothes and stuff, how do you connect with them?
Touch. Everything can be conveyed through touch. It has to be done in a really safe, appropriate way. And that's what my biggest challenge was when I first stepped off the plane from Europe, which was all embracing of touch, especially in the schools. When I stepped off the plane to America, people were very nervous about the idea of using touch, especially in education. So what I've tried to do is show people how important touch can be, because it can express emotions. These children can feel my costume and know what character I'm playing. They love the sensory experience of each play. But I also feel the emotions for real. I'm not acting. I'm using something called expressionistic mime, where I have to go into my own life experiences and feel these emotions, pull them out of my body. The emotions literally fill the air. So I think the children who are blind feel what is going on in the room. They don't even need to be touched.
Well, Joanne Lewis-Margolis, it's a pleasure to meet you and hear about your fascinating work. I really appreciate you coming in.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Joanne Lewis-Margolis is the founder and director of Magical Experiences Arts Company. We've got a link to their website on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. On 88.1 WYPR, it is Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you the next time. Have a great day.